Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm really thrilled today because with me I have Janice Cooper. Janice is an engaging transition coach committed to helping people and groups navigate through change by partnering with horses. Through unique equine experiential learning programs, she helps people reach deeper levels of self-awareness that helps them redirect their lives toward sustainable change at home and at work. As owner of Equanimity, based in Waitsville, Virginia, Janice holds two certifications in equine experiential education, facilitation, and coaching. Prior to starting her own business, her career spanned more than 20 years in leadership positions within Fortune 500 companies. During that time, she led individuals and global organizations through a number of transitions, including multiple company mergers, along with a countless number of organizational changes. She brings this experience together with her passion for people and horses to deliver a transformative learning experience that helps people live better and work better. Janice, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm just delighted to be here.
I'm so thrilled about the work you're doing. I'm somewhat familiar with it, and I would love, since it's so unique, for you to share a little bit with us about how you came to this passion and purpose in life.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and it sort of evolved over time, Vicki. I had come into being a horse owner a little bit later than most. I had spent a lot of time with them as a younger person, but didn't end up getting my own until I was around 40 or so. And over time, I began to notice different behaviors in my horses. For instance, I would walk into the barn after a really stressful day at work, and my horse would be really curious and watch me from the other end of the barn, but as I got closer, she moved away, and she would often boogie out the back door into the paddock. And I didn't quite understand that, and I ignored it for a while. And then I began to have other experiences with her, where I would take things to the barn, you know, maybe a little tense from a situation at home or some sort of conflict someplace, and I would still go out on rides with friends and everything. And there was a couple of occasions when that happened that she tried to buck me off. And so I began to get very curious about what's happening with me that she's picking up on. And lo and behold, I discovered that there was this evolving field of working with people to uncover what's happening with them, what's going on in their life that horses are picking up on. And I became really curious about that. And at the same time, I was working as an executive in a Fortune 500 company and not really happy, not happy with the environment, not happy with some of the people that I was working with, and just feeling like I wanted change. And at that point, I was pursuing, what do I need to feel less stress in my life? I quite honestly, Vicki, didn't know what it felt like not to be stressed. And so I pursued that and found something called a laser light treatment that I sort of won. And I did that, and I'll tell you, it made me feel like I was another person. I was completely relaxed, and my body was like, you know, jello almost. And yet 10 days later, I was still feeling that way and felt compelled to take one of my horses for a ride. Now, we all tell stories, and I told stories all the time about this one horse. She didn't like to go out on the road by herself. She was a swivel head, always concerned about what was going to jump out at her, and, you know, just never really a relaxing ride. And yet that day, as compelled as I was to take her out, having all these stories in my head about her and the situation that we were going to embark upon, it ended up being the best ride that I ever had on her. And I realized at that point that it wasn't about her. It wasn't the stories that I was making up about her. It was all about me. It was about what I was carrying in my body, the thoughts that I was projecting, the stories that I was making up. And with that stress gone out of my body and in this total relaxed place, my horse was very different with me. And it's because I was very different with her. And that's, you know, sort of how I started making my way into this field. And here I am today doing this work and getting to see other people experience the same thing, not necessarily riding because I do all of the work on the ground, but still helping people experience themselves in a very different way and getting that feedback from horses.
You know, when I first learned of this work, I was really surprised that horses had that kind of sensitivity. I really was. I mean, they seem so large, and I've never looked at them as an object that would have, you know, individual instinct of such super sensitivity to people, like almost more sensitive than any other animal. Are people surprised by that?
They are surprised. You know, there are, you know, some people that say horses are dumb and everything else, but they are extremely sensitive, and there's reasons that we can go into for that if you'd like. They're extremely sensitive and very in tune with what is going on around them.
Well, I think if you can just give a real brief layman's description of why they have this sensitivity that I could understand, I would be very interested in hearing that.
Sure. Well, let me just boil it down into five things, and I'll try to be as short on those as possible. First of all, they're a prey animal. And a lot of times I get asked, well, why can't we do this with dogs? Why does it have to be horses? And the difference is because they're a prey animal, and a dog is a predator. And because they're preyed upon, they're hypervigilant of everything in their surroundings. When they're in danger, much like a human, there's this fight or flight instinct. But they always have to know what's of danger around them. And they do that through what they're watching and what they're sensing. The other thing about them is they're a social animal. And much like the social fabric of humans, horses have these herds. There are small herds that make up larger herds. And within each herd, there's specific roles, including a leader and a protector. And so they want to, they need to live in harmony within that herd, because again, as prey animals, they have to have that harmony. They need to support one another. They need to get along. If they don't, then their survival is at risk. And so this is a method that they've been using for 55 million years. They've been more or less surviving as prey animals with a social fabric that helps to support them in their survival. The third reason is from a physiological standpoint. You know, they can actually see 340 degrees around them. And that helps them tune into what might be lying out there that's of danger. But the fascinating thing about them, Vicki, is that they're acoustical beings. They're not limited to just what they see, but what they feel. They're always sensing who and what's around them, the energy and the intent of what's around them. As humans, horses can respond to our heartbeat. There's actually studies on that from the HeartMath Institute. And they can feel the rise and fall of our blood pressure. So when we're not being congruent, for instance, not saying what we're really thinking or feeling, they can sense it because our blood pressure rises and falls with that. So they essentially become nature's biofeedback mechanism, responding to the ebb and flow of what we're projecting with our mind and our body. The fourth reason is around the language. 90% of a human's language is nonverbal. we don't realize that, but we're always picking up on the body language of others. And that's what horses respond to. In addition to the things I've already mentioned, they're looking for what our nonverbal communication is saying because they don't know language. Yes, they can respond to words that we use all the time and the fluctuation of how we say it, but they're really watching our body language. How does a person carry themselves? What is their energy level? The fifth thing, and the thing I find most fascinating, Vicki, is what I'll call their magic. They're able to live in the moment, and I think that is what draws a lot of people in. They're not worrying about the past. They're not worrying about the future. They don't judge. It doesn't matter who you are, your title, the car you drive, or the clothes you wear. What really matters to them is your authenticity. And the other thing around the magic is what I'd say is sort of like this sentient knowing. There are things that I've seen horses do and bring out people that just can't be explained. They somehow seemingly know what someone needs and how to have that show up. So that's what is really the fascinating things. You know, we can explain the physiologically things and the herd and everything else, but it's the magic that I find most intriguing.
That is just fascinating. So tell me a little bit about, a lot of people are familiar now with coaching, but tell me a little bit about how you introduce someone into coaching using horses. What is that like?
Well, we use a couple of different approaches. I do work with groups. So if there's organizations or businesses that aren't quite performing the way they want, or maybe there's some conflict, or they could use better communication. You know, we do structured activities because the way people show up with horses is actually the way they're going to show up in these activities. So we get to see all kinds of behavior that emulates what's going on in the workplace. So that's one way. When I'm working with individuals, it's at a much more intimate level, one-on-one with the horse and the person. And depending upon what's going on and what they're trying to work on, we'd use different types of activities, quite often something called a round pen session. And we work with people up front to understand what's going on in their life, why they may believe that that's happening, and really spend time on what I'll call body-centered awareness. How do we learn to pay attention to our body? Because essentially that's what the horses are listening to. And as we progress through the session and working with the horse, regularly having people experience their body in new ways. I also do something, I'm trained in something called the mind-body method, which helps people start to get in touch with their body in a way that helps bring up things that are generally subconscious, things that they've been holding on to for years, perhaps holding it into the cells of their body. And this process helps bring it to the surface. And working with the horses makes it even stronger because the horses help, through their behavior, help a person really recognize what's going on, what's behind the story, what are the emotions that are surfacing, and, you know, what triggers them, what's behind them. So it's really getting more in depth when working with individuals.
Wow, that is fantastic. So tell me how you overcome the idea, if you're doing this within a corporate or business realm, you know, this seems so unbusinesslike, I would think, to a lot of people. How do you blend that in a way where people can have an understanding of the real power that this can be in their life and in their business?
Yeah, great question. You know, first of all, when I'm working with corporate groups, we don't really get into the emotions. Sometimes the emotions come up, but people feel too vulnerable in a group setting with some of their work peers. And so the activities are designed to not purposely get into that emotional level. But when I'm talking to corporate people who think that this is just a little too out there, a little outside of the box, I like to, you know, really tailor this back towards a discussion on the power of experiential learning. You know, because too often we're telling people, we're sitting somebody in a conference room and we're talking at them. And the difference with experiential working is engaging people with hands-on activities in ways that are incorporating more of their senses. It's going on just beyond seeing and hearing, but also feeling. Feeling what happens when change takes place, recognizing when something's not working, and yet through that practice with a horse, seeing what it takes for change to happen. Seeing and sensing and feeling that change. Those are the things that help us learn better and faster, and those are the things where change becomes more sustainable. And so I really like to have that conversation about the power and the effectiveness and the fact that in a matter of a few hours, there can be substantial change and working with horses because of the way we're engaging people and because of the overall experience.
That is so fantastic. So do you have like an example of a story without, of course, identifying anyone specifically that has really moved you from the standpoint of the work you've done with horses?
Yeah, there are so many of them. I think one of the ones that is really intriguing, both from a business standpoint, as well as an instance when I actually used one of these round pen sessions. And it involved a CEO of a kind of a mid-sized company, not huge. And this individual had horses, and as a CEO and trying to run this business, she was pretty stressed out. And not only in the job, but she had teenagers, she had a couple of homes, and she was traveling a lot. And so with this horse in this round pen, what was happening is the horse kept kind of getting into her space. And she would shoo him away and get him to back off, and then she'd go up to him and start stroking him and patting him, and then she'd walk away, and again, he would come into her space. And we have something in the round pen that we call a carrot stick, and it's just a tool that we make sure people know how to use in advance. And you can think of it sort of like a whip, but we just, you know, suggest that people, if they need to set any boundaries, if they're feeling unsafe for any reason, they can just wave this on the ground. And so with this horse continuing to get in this woman's space and her not really taking direct, consistent steps with it, she was reminded about the carrot stick being there if she wanted to use it. So for 20 minutes almost, this kind of behavior went on, and then it started escalating with the horse, and where he started nipping at her sweater a little bit. And, you know, kind of wondering, well, when is she going to pick up that carrot stick? Well, finally she went to the middle of the round pen where this carrot stick was, and she stood on the other side of it, and she looked at this horse, and the horse kind of pondered it and hesitated, and then finally walked over, stood at the other side of the carrot stick, and looked at her, just simply looked at her. And then he put his head down, and he picked the carrot stick up, and he held it for her. And she said, okay, I get it. I have boundary issues. I get it. And so for her, it was acknowledging that she wasn't doing a good job in her work and home life setting boundaries. She was taking on everything to make sure that it got done and got done right. She wasn't allowing people at work to step in and help her out when she should have, and she was not asking for help at home. And so that was a catalyst for change for her, because after that, she started expecting more from other people. She started establishing those all-important boundaries that we need to have and learning how to set them in an effective way where people would listen to her. And she always had that picture of that horse in her head to remind herself of the boundaries that are so important in our relationships. So that's just one example of many that give you a feel for the power of these horses. And in this case, this horse doing something really profound to get the message across of what was needed.
That is just amazing. I mean, I will never look at horses the same way again because I really felt so detached from them emotionally, even though I've had some experience with riding and so forth. I never had any idea how in depth the interaction could be and how beneficial it could be.
Yeah, you know, horses are being used more and more in so many ways. You know, we traditionally think about the therapeutic riding, and that's still very powerful for people that have been injured or have certain limitations physically or that perhaps have autism. But more and more, just working with a horse on the ground can be very powerful. For instance, it's being used with veterans coming back. It's really helpful for PTSD victims because much like those folks, horses are also hypervigilant. And some of the reactions that we see in people with PTSD and trauma is what you can see in horses sometimes. There's that fight or flight. The difference with people is that they can also go into this freeze. Also with at-risk teens or children, there's something about being able to connect with this 1,000-pound animal where we can overcome our fears, where we can not worry about being judged for who we are, where we can feel honest with our emotions and not be judged for them. Because we as humans too often tend to judge our emotions or anybody else's emotions. Like, it's not okay to be sad. It's not okay to be depressed. You have to be happy all the time. And quite honestly, we can't all be happy all the time. So the ability of horses to accept what we're showing up with and just be honest with it is tremendously powerful. Because when we can do that, we're being authentic. And again, that's all that horses care about is that authenticity. And the response that you'll get from them when you're authentic is very different than when you're trying to be something that you're not.
Yeah, it's a real reality check. Does it surprise a lot of people, the powerfulness of it?
It does. And oftentimes it can be in very subtle ways where people can just have this profound realization. For instance, I work with a client who had some challenges early on in her life, and she felt like she was always needing to make sure that her family knew that she was okay. So she would often be in her head when she was with her family, always strategizing how she was going to be with them so that they would know she's okay. So she wasn't necessarily authentic with her family because she was formulating these strategies on what she was going to say and how she was going to do it and how she was going to be to show that, you know, she'd recovered. And yet her relationship with her family, with certain family members, wasn't what she wanted it to be, and she was struggling with that. It was causing her a lot of stress, a lot of sadness. And by working with a horse, she began to see that the horse didn't necessarily want to be with her when she was in her head. So we worked on how do you become grounded? How do you get out of your head? How do you really sense what's in your body and what's really you and what wants to come up rather than all of this mental chatter that you're allowing to happen and get in the way of true authentic relationships. And when she could do that, the horse would want to be with her. But the moment she went into her head thinking about, I wonder how long this horse is going to be with me. I wonder how old he is and what his life was before. Because as soon as that would happen, the horse would walk away from her. So as a coach, that gives me immediate feedback on what's really happening within her body that typically we would have no recognition for, but the horse does. And that is what I can base my coaching on.
Oh, I love it. I really love it. So tell me, what would you like to see your work mean to the world? Like if you were looking almost at a legacy, what would that look like for you, the body of work that you're doing, that you're making this huge contribution to people with these wonderful animals? What would that look like?
Well, I'd like people to have a recognition that horses can play in helping us, helping with our recovery. And when I say recovery, I don't mean massive recovery, because we all can benefit from what horses have. We don't have to be drug addicts or PTSD victims or trauma victims. We can all benefit from what they have to offer us. And in a world that is becoming so demanding of us and so out of touch with relationships and out of touch with our body and out of touch with nature, I would really love to leave the impression with people that horses can help us get back in touch with nature, with ourselves, and open ourselves up to the individual, the people that we're here to be, the way that we can be, and then support other people. And so that's my greatest desire. I see what they have done for me, how I have transformed through this work and working with them, how I've gone from being a stressed out executive that just really almost didn't want to be with people at times because I just found it so challenging. And horses have allowed me to get connected with myself in a different way that has only helped me to live what I would consider a better life, even though it's a very different life.
Oh, I love that. I think that's so beautiful. I know people listening will want to be able to connect with you and learn more about this wonderful work. Is there a website or somewhere where they can go to do just that?
Yes, there is. My website is www.equanimity.com, and I'm going to spell that. It's E-Q, N as in Nancy, I, M as in Mary, I-T-Y. And just as a real quick correction, if I could, Vicki, I'm actually in Vermont, and I noticed in your opening you mentioned Virginia, and I know that was just an oversight. So it's Wakefield, Vermont, and people will find that when they come to my website. We have a great location here amidst the Green Mountains, and I love to work with other coaches and consultants to customize a program for them to bring their clients in and work with them in a really unique way. So I welcome their visit to my website and give me a call.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you so much. It was just such a pleasure having you here. And I just so enjoyed our time together and the great information you shared.
Thanks so much, Vicki. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Appreciate the work that you're doing.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a fabulous week.